I'm Justin.
I'm Teresa.
And this is True Country.
With us on the show today, we have Dwayne Brown. Raised on a dairy farm in the Nashville-Franklin area, Dwayne started his professional career in the music industry while still in college at Belmont College. He worked as a field marketing rep for CBS Records in 1981, visiting retail record stores and hanging posters. In 1988, CBS Records was purchased by Sony, and in 1991, Sony shifted to Red Distribution. During his nearly 40 years in the music business, Dwayne has signed notable artists including Trisha Yearwood, Ronnie Dunn, and Matt Stell. And on December 31st of this year, 2019, Dwayne will be retiring from Sony. Dwayne has seen a lot of changes in the industry from the 80s until now, and we are very happy to have him on the show today to share his story and perspective. Dwayne Brown, welcome to True Country.
Hey, guys. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. And welcome all True Country fans.
Hey. Yeah.
So we like to...
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say we like to start this off with a random icebreaker question. So I was going to ask you, you've been in the business for a long time. You met a lot of big stars. Who was the first star you met where you were actually starstruck, where you couldn't talk right? You were just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm talking to this person.
I'm going to have to say it was Mark Chestnut.
Okay. That's a good one.
Or if you want to go the pop way, I would say Michael Jackson.
Well, yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah.
but keeping to the true country form, I think the one that was, you know, most impression on me was, you know, Mark Chestnut or even going back, you know, Tom T. Hall, you know, back in the 70s.
When'd you meet Mark? Yeah. Would that have been late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah, it would have been the late 80s, you know, when I was, you know, still, you know, just getting my wings and moving from, you know, a various genre kind of a position with CBS Sony to a more country dynamic role.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about how you got started. I read a little bit in the bio, but give us the story how you got started and if you had a specific goal or intent when you got into the industry.
Well, you know, there really wasn't any intent. It was, you know, raised on a dairy farm, very poor. You know, we, you know, preserved, you know, our vegetables and, you know, back then, you know, in the 70s, I mean, you really had no life, you know, cows, you know, dairy cattle don't wait 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, no vacations. When you did, well, when you had the luxury to take a vacation, it was a trip to Opryland, back when it was in Nashville, like an amusement park. Some folks may remember that, but never did we stray far away from the farm just because, you know, we would, when our neighbors would go on vacation, we would take care of their cattle. And when we would take a few days off, they would take care of ours. But I went to Belmont on a basketball scholarship. I played football as a quarterback at Franklin High School at a young age. And then I played basketball and then ended up getting a scholarship from a bunch of small schools like Troy State, Kentucky Wesleyan, and, you know, Belmont was close to home. And at this time my mother had, you know, was diagnosed with breast cancer and I needed to stay close to home for her and to help my dad with the farm. So I chose to go to Belmont. And I was walking to the, student center one time, and this was long before computers or anything. And there was a, 8.5 by 11 notebook posted to the bulletin board. And down across the bottom, it had like little care tags for a part-time job called this number. So I did. And it happened to be a part-time position with CBS Records, going around visiting record store, counting, you know, how many 8-tracks or cassettes or 45s they had on certain artists. You know, back then we had these things called record stores. You know, and they were in like every little borough. I mean, every little borough of Nashville had them, you know, Hillsboro Village, Elliston Place, 100 Oaks. I mean, and I would just, you know, get on my bike and I would ride around and I would count these, you know, do an inventory check, hand out free concert tickets to like Van Fogelberg or Dave Loggins at the Exit Inn. And, do a, you know, hang some posters and that kind of stuff, and mm-hmm. get paid, you know, $67 a week for doing that.
You were a human sound scan, basically. You would go and just keep tallies of everything.
And then it sort of, you know, graduated and sort of more from that to CBS Special Products, which, you know, I worked with a gentleman named Richie Ciccolo and Al Shulman. You know, and then it went from that to, you know, I was hooked. I think what really hooked me the most was growing up on a dairy farm. When you walk into the barn in the mornings, you would flip one switch, you know, would cut on all the processors and the radio would come on and it would be WSM AM radio. Hmm. And, you know, you just sort of get that embedded in you. Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, grown, you know, the love of country music and, how a songwriter would take a song and next thing you know, you've got, you know, Tom T. Hall performing it or Johnny Rodriguez performing it on the radio. And then you walk into a record store and that smell of vinyl or, you know, just that scent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in some stores it was the smell of incense but for the most part, it was, you know, the smell of vinyl. I just loved it. And then, of course, I loved the music. And I thought, okay, you know, my father and mother probably regrets that I didn't get into the medical field. but, you know, it was just, I don't know, it hooked me, you know. And once it set that hook, it just reeled me in. And I just wanted to be a part of, you know, all aspects of it. And really, I, you know, my degree was in business administration at Belmont, but I gravitated more towards marketing and distribution because, you know, that's where the longevity lies. I mean, in the business, I never pretended to be a songwriter. I was a killer third grade, second chair xylophone player. I gravitated towards the business end of it. And, you know, and from that, I got to meet a lot of great people. And, you know, there was these huge companies like Handelman and Lieberman that serviced, you know, these big rack operations like Walmart. They didn't take care of their own inventory. They had a company called Handelman or Lieberman or Southeastern Tech that would come in and service those locations for them. And so these are accounts that would, you know, they would sell, you know, they would buy 100,000 cassettes of Meatloaf Bat Out of Hell or something of that nature, you know. Mm-hmm. And I got to meet a lot of great, interesting people, a lot of great, you know, people that I mentored or mentored me on the, you know, sales and marketing side. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then, of course, the merger with, you know, when Sony purchased us, company called Important, which most people would know that as Red Distribution, mm-hmm. We kind of got heavy into the country and into the Nashville imprint. And it was kind of my job to grow that market share in country music. And, you know, from that, you know, I built great relationships with Beanie Brown, the guy that runs Broken Bow Records or ran Broken Bow Records. And, you know, I have to hand it to him and a gentleman named Gordon Kerr, who has Black River, which is Kelsey Ballerini's label. Mm-hmm. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention David Macias, who started a company called 30 Tigers, mm-hmm. 21 years ago. And, you know, they're huge now. And mm-hmm. from 30 Tigers is a country side of them. They kind of live in the Americana, non-genre specific arena. Mm-hmm. But David started with George Kerr. He started a company called Triple Eight, and they have, you know, Russell Dickerson and, you know, they rebirthed Scotty McCreery to where I think he's had 3 number one hits now since he's come back onto the fold. So, you know, it's, you know, and let's face it, you know, we're not saving lives here. We're helping people fulfill dreams. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's just a great career. I mean, it's been a great run.
Well, tell me, you mentioned a little bit about that and about, you know, gaining market share and helping these companies grow. What specifically on a day-to-day basis are you doing to move the ball forward for these companies that you're working with?
Well, initially, it's all about branding the label. And, you know, you know, we want to give back to the community. A part of a good, solid record label is branding, getting the awareness out there. So when you say something like, when you say New West Records, I think, you know, John Hyatt, and I think Lily Hyatt, I think Americana, really cool, eclectic, AOR, AAA kind of music, things that you would hear on NPR radio, that kind of stuff. When you think of Broken Bow or Big Machine, or you think of, you know, the incredible things that Cindy Mabe has done over at Capitol, you think true country music. But, you know, I think, Aaron Watson is like one of my, right now the music I'm listening to is Aaron Watson, Cody Jinks, Sturgill Simpson, and that true traditional country band.
Definitely more truer country, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's more about the branding, and it's about the partnerships that they form with a lot of alliances that give back to the community, like W.O. Smith. ACM has the Lifting Lives, campaign, which I'm a huge fan of. And everybody that works with T.J. Martell and, the Grammy Foundation. So it's not just about, the music that a label can do. It's what the label can give back to the community to enhance country music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we like to talk about high and low points in your journey because you've been at it now for a while. And let's start with the lowest point. And, is there a low point that you've had in the journey? And if so, what did you do to overcome that? And what lessons did you take away from that?
Oh, wow. Low points would be one of the low points, and I won't mention any names, was when we tried to start a label with an investment company, someone that, comes in, they want to be in the music business. And, I like to call it pass the ketchup, conversation, where you've got an investor sitting at a table. He's got his accountant on one side. I'm sitting on the other side, and I'm, and he's $500,000 to $1 million invested in this record label. And he's wanting a quick turn on his money, but it takes a while to establish that label, especially with radio being such a dominant force in the country music still to this day. Mm-hmm. And his accountant, he asked his accountant, hey, how's that investment with Georgia Pacific doing? Oh, great. You're up 30 points on the quarter. It's doing great. How about that dairy farm that we have down in Branson, Missouri? Oh, wow, they're producing. They just merged with another company. You're up about 15%. How about that record label in Nashville? Well, you're a million in, and it looks like maybe it's going to be another 2 years before we turn, maybe another $2 million. You know what? Go ahead and shut that down. Pass me the ketchup. Those are the conversations, and those are the low points, and I've been on a couple of those. And it was no fault. There was no fault of anyone's other than the fact that some of these investors just don't give it time to mature and develop. Mm-hmm. One of my great guy, one of my best friends and a gentleman that I will always cherish the long relationship that we've had is a gentleman named Alan Becker. And Alan has always said, hey, don't close the doors before you have your first hit. And that is so true. Because once you have that taste of success with your first radio hit, mm-hmm. then it feeds everything. Mm-hmm. It feeds the branding initiatives. It feeds, your impressions with, all the accounts out there. And it just feeds everything. Mm-hmm. But, you can go and close the doors and tomorrow people will have forgotten about you. Mm-hmm. To touch on the high points.
Yeah, high points.
I think what happened would have to be the years that I have spent with one company, the people that I have met, the conversations that I've had with the statesman, the legend artist, Charlie Daniels, Dave Corlew that manages Charlie Daniels, just to mention a couple, or, Doc McGee. Bob Morelli, who ran Red Distribution, was with Sony B. He was with BMG before the merger with Sony. And then he came over And he said, Dwayne, I'm going to give you the keys to the castle. I know you'll make the right decisions, grow our market share. Mm-hmm. And that meant so much to me, the faith that he had in me mm-hmm. to do the right things. Now, granted, it's not been all peachy keen blue skies. Mm-hmm. You know, we've slipped on a couple of banana peels with a couple of signings. But, you know, it's the same way with any label and any distribution company out there. You're going to have those moments. Mm-hmm. But you want the highs to be much greater than the lows.
Of course.
And you know, I felt that it's been a very successful career, very successful run. I've met some incredible people, mm-hmm. you know, people from, you know, Troy Ballhofer, who puts on some of the biggest country music festivals, Herbert Graham. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention John Grady. Who opened up his arms and accepted me wholeheartedly when, you know, he took the helm at Sony Nashville. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are really great moments. Mm-hmm. You know, yesterday I was at Black River and they invited me over for a holiday luncheon that he has with his staff. And what I thought was going to be just an average luncheon for a holiday staff turned out to be this gratitude that they showed towards me for all the years that I helped support them and to bring them and build what his vision was to where it is now.
That's awesome. You
know, that's very cool.
Yeah, it was very touching. You know, my heart was pounding out of my chest when I walked in front of that. You know,
that's very.
But
cool.
You know, it has been an incredible ride, and you know, my ride's not over. I'm just going to happen, you know, it's time for me to call it a day with Sony.
Okay.
And go let someone else, you know, build some dreams and fulfill dreams.
That's great.
It's awesome. That's great. Now, you've been in this for a long time, and you've seen the highs and lows. You've seen the industry change a lot versus how it was in the past with artists and new artists. From what I've gathered and talking to people, there was a lot more of the development of the artists and giving them chances to, you know, fail, but fail forward, and maybe by their third record, then the hits start coming. Now it seems that if you're not pretty hot out of the gate, you're getting pushed aside or dropped. And I know the money has shrunk, the pie has shrunk. How do you see that going on right now, and is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, let's all face it. I mean, the number one fact is record companies, record labels, distribution companies don't make the money today that they made 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So the risk in signing an artist is much greater. Mm-hmm. But the means in which we have to discover new artists is much greater as well. You know, nowadays new artists are, you know, Spotify has it to where these new artists that are unsigned can go and put their music on their artist page and use Spotify as a platform for discovery. Mm-hmm. When we look at that, I look at the YouTube channel and see what they're, you know, what an artist is doing and what they're posting on YouTube and mm-hmm. what their subscribe following is, you know, to really start churning away and monetizing your assets at YouTube. Mm-hmm. I mean, it needs to be 15,000 subscribe followers or greater. Mm-hmm. Before you really start to see that mature and come together. I mean, used to, we'd just walk down to Tootsie's and see your average Tommy Joe Wilson playing and Scott Wallen walking in there from Stone Temple Pilots and saying, hey, Dwayne, I want to sign that guy to my label. Okay. Yeah. Well, Scott, you don't, I mean, you're in the world. I want to do a country record on that guy. Okay, well, let's do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, working with Dana Dufine to come out with a Tommy Joe Wilson record, who's based out of Dallas, and he's a great artist, and just happened to not work out, you know, for any of us, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, how much plays into it if, you know, you've got an artist out there who you see, you hear, and you're like, oh, my gosh, you're wowed by this person, but, you know, maybe their social media following just isn't where it needs to be at that point. Do you wait 7 years, 8 years for them to get it to where you want it? Or are you like, screw that. I see talent. I know what I'm hearing. I see with the way the fans are responding to this person. We need to talk to this person.
Well, this is not a business that you're half pregnant in. And
exactly.
This is not a business that you sort of dabble your toe in and say, you know, if your convictions and your heart and the music is there, then you jump all in. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just jump in. But, you know, nowadays record labels aren't giving those big advances to sign artists.
Right.
And, you know, it's not an albums driven world anymore. It's a singles driven world.
Right.
And it's not about making an album. It's about going to the studio and, you know, maybe getting with someone like Corey Crowder to produce three sides and pushing those three sides out through the DSP platforms and just see what the reaction is. And, you know, and you can judge a lot by the music by just sitting and listening to it. For me, it's all about the song. I mean, for me, that's where it begins. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that song may not be right for Luke Bryan, and it may not be right for a Jason Aldean. And, you know, if it's David Fanning producing this track, it may be perfect for a band called Love and Theft. Mm-hmm. Or it may be perfect for somebody, you know, some up-and-coming new artist like a Russell Dickerson. So, mm-hmm. you know, with me, it's about the music, and that's kind of where it starts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've kind of, this is an interesting question because you've touched on it a little bit. You're retiring from Sony, and you're not retiring, you know, in life. You're going to continue doing some other things. So, you've accumulated all of this knowledge now, and you're not starting out per se in the industry again, but you are doing something a little bit differently. Is there, with all that knowledge, what would you say you're taking with you as you start kind of this next phase in your life?
Relationships.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll say it again, we're not a doctor standing behind a mask saving lives. And I'm all about fulfilling dreams for unsigned artists. I'm about fulfilling a dream for Ronnie Dunn, who wants to put a record out of his 24 most favorite songs, 12 of them being country, 12 of them being, you know, pop rock songs from the 70s or 80s. Mm-hmm. You know, a little plug here. That album comes out on January 23rd.
Shameless plug. Here you go.
It's all right. Plug. All day long.
Yes. But, you know, and what I take away from it is the relationships that I've built, the relationships that I've nurtured from meeting Irvin Azoff to, meeting David Burns from Arkansas, David Adam Burns, who's a great songwriter. He hasn't had that shot yet. To a guy named Boo Ray here in Nashville, who is kind of in the Cody Jinks vein that I think is going to really turn things around next year. Okay. So I've got my eye on about six artists right now that I think, you know, when you look at Billboard and you say, And they say the top 20 artists for 2020. I'll agree with about half of them.
Okay.
Because there's another 30 out there that are working even harder than those 20 that is making great music and doing the right things, and doing it the right way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, let me ask you this. This is a question that I always personally like to ask, and that is, you've been in this business for a while. What is your favorite or best story that you can recall, funniest story, whether you are part of it or somebody told it to you about the country music business?
Oh, God, are you ready for this?
I'm ready, baby.
I was actually a part of this. So I was a child, probably about 11 or 12 years old. And there was this hotel called Spence Manor Hotel on 16th Avenue. And my uncle was playing cards in room 301. And he had called my mother and said, hey, look, can you go in my drawer? My uncle lived with us on the farm. He said, can you go in the drawer and, you know, get me $20? And back then, this is a long time ago, $20 was a lot of money, and bring it down here to Spence Manor Hotel. And my mother said, okay, well, where are we taking it? And he said, just bring it to room 301. And mom goes down there, she pulls into the Spence Manor Hotel. If anybody's ever been there, there's really no lobby parking. You just pull around it, you know?
Okay, yeah.
And I went inside and walked up to the third floor, knocked on the door at room 301. Tom Paul Glazier opens the door up. My uncle comes to the door. I hand him his $20 bills, and I look in there, and George Jones is duct taped to a chair.
What?
True story.
What in the world?
Well, George Jones was always notorious for running up a tab and then having to go get cigarettes or something at the market. And never coming back. But that's a true story.
That is an awesome story. We've heard some awesome stories, but the possum being tied to a bed, that's a great story.
Now, he was duct taped to a chair.
A chair. Oh, my goodness.
They were sitting at a poker table, and he's sitting there, and he's pulled away, and his arms are duct taped to the arms of the chair.
That's hilarious.
That's a great story.
I didn't think anything about it until, about 10 years later when my uncle told me what the story was.
Funny.
That's awesome. Well, let me ask you this. This is one of the last questions we ask before we let you go. Once again, we really appreciate your time, sir.
You're most welcome.
This question is, what is true country to you?
True country to me musically is a fiddle and a steel. True country to me is a song that starts maybe in Odessa, Texas, maybe in the most eastern part of Tennessee or the southern part of Virginia. But true country to me is a song that about your past, a song that you have lived, a song that you can recognize, that is very warming and touching and takes you back home. And with that, I'll say Merry Christmas, everyone.
And that's true country to Dwayne Brown. Well, Dwayne, before we let you go, we got one more thing to do, and that is the world-famous 30-second true country shot clock. So you're going to have 30 seconds to answer 6 questions as fast as you can. So are you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
All right, let's begin. What is the instrument you wish you could play?
Mandolin.
What is the best concert you ever attended?
Janet Jackson, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Whose tour bus would you like to hang out on?
My own.
If you could only listen to 3 artists for the rest of your life, who would they be?
Roy Acuff, Alan Jackson, and Brad Paisley.
And quick, what is Toby Keith drinking in his red solo cup?
Water.
I don't believe that. But
awesome.
I'll take the little road. I love Toby. I love TK. He's doing is amazing right now.
Yes, it is.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. If people want to look you up and kind of see where you're going and what you're doing next, where can they find you?
They can find me on Facebook. They can find me on Instagram, Dwayne2323. They can email me at Dwayne, and spelled Dwayne.Brown, just like the color, 23@gmail.com.
Perfect.
Or heck, they can always call me.
All right. That sounds great. Well, if y'all enjoyed our interview today with Mr. Brown, please continue to like, follow, rate, and review our podcast, and check out all of the episodes that we have at truecountrypodcast.com.
And once again, thank you so much, Mr. Brown, for joining us. We really appreciate your time, sir.
Justin, thank you, and Teresa. You guys have a great holiday.
Absolutely. Well, I am Justin Mason.
And I'm Teresa.
And this is True Country.